Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hey church, thanks for joining us and welcome to our new set.
Yeah church, it's pretty special isn't it?
Very nice. Thank you to Sher for setting up a great set for us, mate.
Set
thank
design
you.
Skills.
Well done. We are going into a three-week series, a mini-series, just we think which is really timely for the season that we're in right now, enjoying some semi-freedoms. And Michael, I think you're one of the most sort of patient people that I know.
No, I'm good. What I'm really good at is I'm really good at waiting in line. I'm really good at when they say it's going to take 2 minutes and it takes 10 minutes. I just got patience for that stuff, mate.
Mate, look, I don't doubt that. Well, actually, that's not true. I do, because I've seen you, mate, being one of the most impatient, whether it's for food, for a footy, for show, for whatever it might
for
be.
For anything, just life anything. In general.
So I don't know how many of you out there are comfortable with delays. What about when you want to get somewhere quick, you're driving in a particular direction, then you got the roadworks, road ahead closed, detour.
I'm no good. Or you're sitting on a plane and it's delayed and then you're watching your connecting flight start to take off. That's always a good one.
Yep, and that's a win. Or you're doing a road trip and your brother decides, no, I want to go by the car GPS, but your phone says there's a much quicker and better way, but your brother says that the car GPS system is the way to go and ends up taking you 2.5 hours to get to your destination, longer than what it should.
Yeah, we grew up with my dad going, I think I know a shortcut, and it was always added on about 20% time-wise.
Well, look, admittedly, I have to say that some detours bring about some experiences that you would never, ever have got otherwise, right?
Yeah.
So, but for the most part, I don't think we enjoy the waiting, the detours, those kind of things, being in line, taking your ticket, get in line, all of that sort of stuff. And I think sometimes in life, some of those delays in life can be a result of our own poor decision-making.
Correct.
But sometimes, like I guess in many ways, what we've just come through, coming out of, has been stuff that's outside of our control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, not just because it's, you know, but mind you, it's been a pandemic outside of our control, but then there's kind of layered on top of that for us, not being critical, but the reality of just incompetency, inefficiency, other people's poor decision-making.
There's things that we can't control.
That we can't control that obviously has an impact on us. And so over the next 3 weeks, we want to take a look at three stories in the Bible that we think are really timely and things that I believe we can learn from these stories around some people went through circumstances that were a result of their own poor decision-making, but predominantly these situations, for the most part, for most of the people were not a result of their own personal decision making. They were having to endure the wilderness or exile because of other people's decision making. And so over the next 3 weeks, we want to take a look at number one, the children of Israel in the wilderness and coming out of that into the promised land. Number two, we want to take a look at the children of Israel being taken into captivity, being in exile, then coming back to Jerusalem, what we can learn from that. And the last one, New Testament example of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just want to take a look at that and in each story how they have lessons for us.
Yeah, totally. And I guess like we would say that God's word is always in season. It is eternal. It is timeless. So we can go back to these stories that have happened thousands and thousands of years ago and go, what would God want to say to us right now out of them? And so we want to just take a look today at Israel's experience of being in the wilderness, being in the desert, and then coming out of that, coming into the promised land. And what are some of the things that we can grab out of this? Some of the lessons that we may have for our life, for us as a community, for us in our interaction and engagement with God and with other people. So I guess by way of background, we see the people of Israel, God's chosen people, have been in this period of exile. They've been in oppression and slavery. Under the Egyptians for about 400 years. And then God raises up Moses, one of the most unlikely heroes in the Bible. It's a great reminder for us that you don't have to be perfect. When a perfect God wants to use you, he will work around your faults and your failings and all of that stuff, which is a great encouragement to all of us. But we see that God does this series of miracles. And the people are released out of Egypt, that the 12 plagues and God moves powerfully, they're released. And then it just sort of, the story just keeps getting crazier and crazier. We see them leave, they get to the Red Sea, and there's this just again, straight away, they go from being like really excited, God's done an amazing thing, to just really stressed out. We see God lead them day and night. It says in Exodus 13:21, God would lead them day and night. There's a pillar of fire by night. There's a cloud by day. God's guidance is there. That hasn't changed for us today. We've got the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And like, this is a phenomenal story because they get to the Red Sea. It what pretty much in effect is in like this detour, it's a dead end. And the children of Israel begin to focus, despite everything they've just been through, they focus on the problem. They don't focus on who God is and what he's actually done for them. But yet again, we see God come through miraculously. The seas get parted. They walk through on dry land. And Yahoo, you think, wow, we're on our way to the promised land. We've kind of left the Egyptians. They're being drowned behind us. They're not chasing us. We are free now. And we start to see the unfolding that was a common theme throughout the Old Testament through the New, and that is that obedience leads to blessing and freedom, and disobedience leads to discipline and restrictions, if you like. And so despite all that God has done, and even though he was visibly with them, the people still whinge and complain as they start to enter into or heading towards their promised land, even to the point where they actually just make their own God, because Moses is up on the mountain for so long. They make their own God out of gold, a golden calf, and, you know, that in itself. So, you know, we just start to see some stuff.
Yeah, and then they get to the edge of the promised land. They don't really know what's ahead. They send out 12 spies. And this is a pretty famous story. The 12 spies come back. They go through the land. They come back. And then 10 of the spies start spreading negative rumors. Essentially, they start going to the people saying, we can't do it. It's too hard, too scary. There's two guys that are like, yep, God's got this. Let's go ahead with it. Joshua and Caleb, they get God's blessing for that. But these other guys start to spread throughout the rest of the community this negative language. And it just builds up this sense of disbelief that this God who just got them out of Egypt won't be able to get them into the promised land. It just makes me stop and think, man, what voices are we listening to? You know, are we listening to the voices? Because sometimes, as we know, it's the negative voices that seem to be the loudest. And we've got to choose what kind of voices we listen to. And I guess the other challenge for that for me is, what kind of voice am I being? Am I spreading faith, positivity, trust and promises in God? Or, yeah.
Totally, mate. And I think there with that is like, you know, we the voices of faith, do we actually get on board that?
Yeah.
And I think our natural tendency is to gravitate towards the negative, or people speak words of faith. Oh, that can't be done. How can that happen? That's what happens here. Joshua and Caleb go, we can take this land, but the 10 other spies say that we can't because they are too big for us. And this kind of stirring up in the people's disbelief, unbelief, angers God, because it's described that these 10 who incite everyone else down this negative route, they're not following the Lord wholeheartedly, as opposed to Joshua and Caleb. And so those that were alive at that time, that generation above the age of 20, were told, you're not going to enter the promised land. And so they're led into the wilderness for what should have taken 11 days direct route. 11 days. It should have, you know, there's arguably, you know, couple of million people, but you know they're in the desert for 40 years, and we can learn so much from this time of the children of Israel in the wilderness and what they experienced in the wilderness, but also coming out of the wilderness into the promised land after those 40 years, and they just see God continuing to be faithful. I mean 40 years is a long time, right? I mean, we've had 112 days of lockdown, and so, you know, that's been bad enough, right? And yet these guys had 40 years. Imagine just for a second, if you can, if we try to encapsulate what the children of Israel would have felt coming out of the wilderness into the promised land after 40 years, I can't even begin to imagine. I mean, this may be the closest we'll ever get, even though this lockdown wasn't wandering in the desert wilderness. I'm not saying that, but maybe this is the closest we'll get, church, to being able to relate in some way to maybe this story in regards to lockdown and stuff.
But I mean, I wandered around my block pretty aimlessly a fair bit.
Clocked up a few extra steps. But, you know, I think that we also want to acknowledge, you know, so much would have happened throughout the 40 years as a change of generation, all of that sort of stuff. But even for our church family, in the 112 days, there's been a whole mixture. We know people's jobs and careers and work and livelihoods been affected, rent or paying mortgages. been affected. We've had people that have celebrated birth, the arrival of life, and haven't been able to celebrate that with friends and family, let alone church family as well. And, you know, there are going to be babies that have been born that'll be teenagers by the time we get back together. But also, I guess, you know, the reality is too that people have lost loved ones in the life of our church. And again, our heartfelt condolences and thoughts, love and prayer to those that have left, have lost, you know, whether it's a parent or a loved one during this time, and you haven't been able to honour or be supported as you'd normally be. So we want to acknowledge all of that. And so, you know, wilderness or restrictions have been a mixed and varied experience for so many. But we want to just take a look at some lessons, four lessons that we can learn from the children of Israel being in wilderness this week and then coming out into the promised land.
Yes, I guess the first one for me is that God is present and provides in both the wilderness and in the promised land. And so whatever season of life that you are in, whether it feels like you're in the promised land or it feels like the wilderness, God is present and he also provides. He is present and provides yesterday, today. He will do so tomorrow. He is faithful. In Exodus 13:21, as we mentioned, it says that the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light and so they could travel by day nor by and by night. So whether it's the brightest of days or the darkest of nights, for you, God is present. He is there. And I think for me, I love this because it reminds me that the Israelites just needed to keep their eyes on God and they would have direction. We see that the Holy Spirit is our constant companion and our guide. Now that's God's promise for us. So God is present and he also provides. I really love this in Deuteronomy 29:5. It talks about the fact that God's saying, I led you through the desert for 40 years. Your clothes didn't wear out and neither did your sandals. Like this for me is the ultimate blessing. It would mean I never have to go shopping again. I could wear my favorite pair of thongs, my good thongs, my going out thongs. I could wear them forever all the time.
How do you think the ladies kind of cope with 40 years of no change in fashion?
I think it would have been okay. It's all about your priorities, mate.
Let us know what you think about that.
But I just want to take this moment to honour God as a church, honour and thank God for his faithfulness and his provision for us as a community. And although this has been a really challenging season on a number of different levels for people, I just want to honour the fact that Compass as a church, we have grown, we have seen people added to our community. One of the great things is we've seen people come into a relationship with God for the first time and experience his love and joy and peace and his salvation. We've seen people experience the Holy Spirit for the first time. We have seen God's faithfulness and provision financially for us as a church. We are positioned to be able to be a blessing for our community. We have seen the families from Compass blessed and God's blessing and provision and favor upon that. And so we just want to take a moment to thank God, to tell of his stories of protection and provision, because how easy is it to just move on to the next need, the next thing that you want God to do, the next thing that you think he might owe you or he should do for you. And we don't actually stop and go, man, God, you are incredibly faithful. You are incredibly faithful, Lord. And we just thank you. It is with a gracious heart. We say thank you, Lord God, for your provision. How quickly when the next challenges arise, do we lose sight of God's faithfulness in the one that we just faced? There's in Numbers 11:5, God, after God's miraculously provided manna, the people then start complaining because they don't like the manna. And it's just this cycle where they lose sight of God's faithfulness. I want to never lose sight of what God has saved me from. And we see that just in Joshua, they cross the Jordan and there's this moment where God says, hey, grab a whole bunch of stones and build a monument to tell of the story. So when future generations come past, they'll say, what are those stones from? And you'll be able to say, that was when God moved powerfully. That was when we saw God move miraculously. It just makes me think, what stories does my life tell? What stories am I passing on to my kids and those around me about God's faithfulness?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I again, Mick, I just want to honour God, you know, with the protection, the provision, even for the health of the people within the life of our church. You know, like we've been protected from, you know, a disease, and you can take that however you like, but I believe that's just God's providence and sovereignty and protection over us, his people, not just Compass, but, you know, I just really just want to honour God in that area as well. So that's one area. Another thing I think we can learn from the children of Israel's wilderness experience is, this might sound obvious, but I think we forget it sometimes, is that God's plan is not always what we plan or think.
Yeah.
You know, if we just think about this whole story, 400 years in slavery, I don't think one of those slaves envisaged that God was going to see them set free in this way through the plagues. None of them would have said, oh, this is how God's going to do it, right? And so God already is starting to break down mindsets and shift paradigms in people's worlds and revealing himself in such a miraculous, powerful way. And let's not forget what God has done for us. But God, in terms of his guiding, his leading, his direction for the children of Israel, he uses Moses, a guy who 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness, uses both of those experiences to get the children of Israel out, uses him as a conduit, as a means to guide and direct and protect the people when they're in the wilderness. God uses all of that like he wants to use all of our experiences. You know, the children of Israel leave Egypt fully loaded. They are laden with all the riches. I mean, who saw that coming? No one would have seen that coming. And then not long after that, we see this interesting verse in Exodus 13, 17 and 18. It tells us that God doesn't guide them the shortest route because they would have faced a battle straight away. And the children of Israel were not battle ready. They weren't war ready. They're not warriors, fighters, ready to go. They would have faced a battle and would have got defeated. And God said they would have wanted to go back to Egypt. Can I just say for some of us, you know, we can see the quickest way to get somewhere, but God knows what our capacity, capability and abilities, what we can and can't do. He knows our limitations. Even though we think we've got the shortest route to somewhere and the quickest way, God might kind of take us the long way because there's a battle he wants us to actually avoid because we're not ready for it. And I see that in the growth of Compass as much as kind of like, oh, I don't want to speak for you, but I will, that, you know, we probably thought we were really ready, you know, 8 years ago, it's 5 years ago for certain things. We thought we were ready, but, you know, I think God has shown us that we weren't ready. Yep. Just like we think we're ready for this, maybe God's just saying, hold up, Tiger, just ease up. I'm taking you a little bit longer than what you think. You're going to get there, but I'm going to take you away, not necessarily your plan. And so we just see that God leads them, you know, a couple of million people, he leads them to a dead end, to a sea. I mean, who? Brilliant, right? That's a great plan. Thanks, God. Dead end. So they think. But God comes through. He parts the way and he uses that as a means to destroy the enemy and bury the enemy. And then what happens? Takes them into a desert. Thank you very much. Let's go to a desert where there's no food, there's no water, there's no shelter, none of that. Got a couple of million people. What are we going to do? Well, what has God done? But, you know, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. When God comes through, he comes through again and again. He leads them through the desert. They get through the 40 years of going through. And to get into the promised land, what do they have to do? They face another river. And what does God do? He makes a way. It's like, you know, God's ways don't always make sense to us. And it's not the way we always think. And not only that, but, you know, we'll come back to this later, but not only do they have to cross another river, the Jordan, but they come to a fortified city. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Lord. So this is great. But, you know, like the reality is God won't lead us into a battle that he knows we can't fulfill. He saves his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. He won't give us more than we can handle, and he always provides us with the way out. And so the reality is, can I just take some encouragement from this, in that being obedient will not always mean that life is easy. In fact, if when you are obedient, you can be guaranteed it won't be easy. And just because you think things are going to pan out a certain way, when you hold on to and you trust God, you will see him come through in ways that you couldn't comprehend, and things will begin to become clear and apparent as to why they've happened the way they have. And so just because things get tough or are hard, it doesn't mean it's not God's way, direction, plan for your life. In fact, quite often it can mean you're on the right track. So just be encouraged by that. Hey, we're going to come back in a few minutes to take a look at the other two things that we want to learn from the children of Israel's experience in the wilderness coming into the promised land. We'll be back soon.
Hey guys, we are just checking out a couple more things we can learn from the wilderness experience that the people of Israel had coming into the promised land. I just want to say my second one is that God doesn't keep us in the desert forever. And I know that sometimes when we are going through a season that is challenging, that is hard, that feels overwhelming, it can feel like it goes forever. I just want to encourage you that God has not forgotten you. God does not forget you. He has his eye on you. He stands beside you. He walks with you. He hasn't overlooked you. He is faithful and he stands beside you. In Exodus 33:14, it says, "My presence will go with you." So when we're facing a challenge, when we're in that battle, when we are struggling, it's really important. The same way the people of Israel in the desert had to keep their eye on the signs that God gave them, the fire and the cloud to get direction and get comfort to know that God was with them. God's given us the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you that he hasn't forgotten you. The Holy Spirit is with you, that he is your comforter. He is your guide. And I think that even when we're in our worst seasons, and whether, like Phil said, whether that's just situation and circumstance that's out of our control, or whether that's something that we have done, those moments I know that are my hardest challenge, or when I've had my worst attitude, or I'm at my most frustrated, I love the fact that God remains calm, that he is protective, he is loving. He is like the ultimate calm dad. I know for me as a dad, there have been times where like I've let my emotions get the better of me and I've missed the mark and I've reacted in a way that's more about maybe my own insecurities than my kids' behaviors and I've maybe caused hurt when I was trying to correct and I've just missed it. And then I've had to stop and I've had to come back to my kids and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I stuffed that one up. Oh, I should have done that one better. Or as a dad, I missed the mark there and ask for their forgiveness. But our God never misses the mark. Our God never works away going, geez, you know what? I stuffed that one up. I could have done that one a bit better. For God is perfect. His love for you is incredible. And if you are going through a challenge, it doesn't mean that God is mad at you. He is madly in love with you. There is nothing you can do to change that. He is absolutely madly in love with you. It is astounding to me that our God stepped down off heaven to come to our level. It's not like every other religion where you've got to try and drag yourself up to his level. I want to encourage you that there's great power and strength to be found in community, to have people that you can walk with, that trust you, that can pray for you, that can care for you. And as a church, I just want to say, we can only do this if we know about it. Like God is all knowing, we know very little. And so the only way we can help you provide support, encouragement, prayer, practical support, whatever that looks like, help you get plugged into the services that are going to empower you and help you flourish is if you tell us. And I say to our Compass blokes a lot, never be too proud to ask for help. So if you are struggling, if you are going through some hardship, if you need some support on whatever level, please, you need to tell us. Because we would love to be able to help you and we would love to be able to support you and walk with you through what may be a really challenging season for you, because we know that seasons can be hard, they can be challenging, but God does not leave us. And this moment of challenge, this moment of struggle is not forever, but God will be with you forever.
Totally, mate. And one of the things I love about that too, my experience is, you know, when you're going through a really tough, difficult time, desert, valley, dark time, whatever it case may be, you know, like when we do have those emotions of just anger or frustration and things like that, God can handle that. And, you know, like he's not going to kind of like lose the plot or whatever. He's just there saying, come on, kid. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Hold on to me. I'm going to get you through this. There is yeah. light at the end of this tunnel. You know, we have that eternal hope, but God says he doesn't give us more than we can handle. Yeah. And can I just encourage you, like Mitch just said, you know, we spoke about this last week, that don't isolate yourself. You know, don't withdraw. As hard as it is, and everything within you is saying that you just want alone time, me time, just be me, myself, and I. That's the time to just step out and reach out for help. And we're committed to doing all that we can. And so, you know, God doesn't keep us or allow us to stay in a desert forever. Yeah. And the reality is, and our last point today, coming out of that one, is that it didn't last forever for the children of Israel, yeah. and that 40 years came to an end. And like we're coming to the end of this season and we're slowly starting to come out of restrictions, etc. But the children of Israel came out of that and into the promised land. But I alluded to this just before, but the last point I want to bring out today, number four, is that when we come out of the desert, when we come out of the wilderness, when we come out of a difficult time, the battles don't stop. That's just the reality of life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So as soon as you begin to take forward steps, begin to take positive steps, the right steps in being a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, and if you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you're desiring to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, you come out of a dark time. The enemy is wanting to kind of like just distract, deceive, yeah. steal from you, rob you of your joy, your peace in any way, shape, or form. So the battles don't stop. And so we see that for the children of Israel. So just because we're coming out of restrictions, we're celebrating that. It's great to see people out and about and catching up, and that'll increase more as restrictions are further eased. And that's fantastic. But for us as a church, we've taken ground during this season, but by the grace of God, and we are desiring and we are believing for significant things in the future. And we know that there will be battles. But for us personally, we know we can learn from this, that, you know, as the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, yes, they were confronted with a river. You know, God's done it before. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it again. They went across the Jordan. Oh, wow, a fortified city. Are you kidding me? So, you know, the first, that big battle that they had to do, and how's the instructions or the strategy God gives them? It's ridiculous. So, you know, one of the things that I can encourage you, when you're stepping into God's purpose and destiny, don't be surprised if a significant obstacle or challenge comes your way early. And that's partly for you to actually to understand and get confirmation that God's in this and he'll bring about a great victory. But it's also an obstacle or an opposition that's coming your way, so that those around you, especially in a work context, that when you step into that by faith and you're going where God wants you to go, and this opposition comes and God gives you the wisdom, the strategies, the keys to overcome that, and you get the victory, people around are kind of like, you're gonna like absolutely get fast tracked in trust, credibility, reputation stuff in that space. And so once you come out of a difficult time, I don't want to be a prophet of doom. I'm excited about our future. But the reality is there's going to be battles. There's going to be fights. And we take a look at, yep, they get through the River Jordan. They get through Jericho. And then there's the land that they had to take. And there was ongoing battles and fights that they had to take through all of that. So, you know, as we said, you know, being obedient, life won't always be easy. And he's promised to stay with us, never leave, never forsake. The battle is his. It's the Lord's. It's not ours. And that we can rest and trust in that. And so, hey, there's four things that we believe that we can take from the children of Israel's experience in the wilderness, that they continue to hold on to God, that, you know, obedience led to blessing and freedom. When they were disobedient, you know, there was discipline and there were restrictions that were put on them as a consequence to their choices. And so I think, you know, that still holds true for us today, that our Heavenly Father loves it when we walk in obedience, which releases the fullness of his blessing in our life. And just in closing today, I just want to throw it out there. If this is your first experience of Compass, or you're just sort of checking out the whole God thing, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love for you just to maybe send us an email, or if you have any questions about faith, the God thing, we have a number of different courses or ways in which we'd love to be able to support and help, the Alpha course being one of them. But the first step in coming to your own personal relationship with God, the Bible would say that there is all of the wrongs that we have, all the disobedience that we've been born into and that we've done since we were born, is the stuff that offends a holy, pure, righteous God. And there's only one way for that to be taken care of, forgiven, for us to be become clean before a holy, pure God, and that is believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the children of Israel in the desert, you know, there were times when God said, I'm done with these people. I'm done with them. And Moses said, Lord, not yet. Don't wipe them out. Then there was other times where Moses said, Lord, I'm done. God, I'm done with these people. They're stiff-necked. They're annoying. They're frustrating. And God said, no, just be patient, Moses. And so it was just a good thing they weren't like that on the same day, right? But, you know, the Bible tells us that it's not Moses who was our mediator between us and God, but it's Jesus. Jesus and Moses was a type of Jesus, but Jesus now is the one that mediates between us and God. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, if we believe that what Jesus Christ did upon the cross when he died, shed his blood for us, he was buried and rose again, if we believe in Jesus, then all of those wrongs that keep us separated from God, all that stuff that the Bible calls sin, is forgiven, and we come into right relationship with God through what Jesus Christ has done. And that's the best decision. And so, A, acknowledge that none of us are perfect. I'm not, you're not, none of us are. B is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's the one that died for all of us, and it's the only way for relationship and forgiveness, right relationship with God the Father. And C, confess that with your mouth. Just say a simple prayer, and that would be simply just go like this. Father, I'm sorry that I've done wrong. I know that I've made mistakes in my life. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying the price for all of my sin. Forgive me, come and be Lord of my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. And you pray that prayer, the Bible tells us that in that instant that you are in right relationship and God puts his spirit inside of you, that spirit that Mick was speaking about, that he is always there, ever present. And so today, if you've never done that, that's the best decision that you can ever make with your life. And it's the first step of your adventure, your personal relationship, journeying with the creator of this universe, resident with you and for you. Yeah. So if you want to know more about that, email us at info@compasschurch.org, or you can press that little button. If you're watching this via live stream, you can press the little button that's coming up right now saying raise hand and we'll be in touch with you if you fill out your details. If you're watching this at any other time, just feel free to email us at that email address. We'd love to get in touch. But thanks for hanging out today. Next week, we're going to take a look at a different story of the children of Israel who were taken into captivity. They're in exile and then coming out of that back into Jerusalem and just what we can learn from that.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.